Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Guys, guess what?
What?
We've booked a live show. We've booked a Christmas show. It's on the 2nd of December at the Clapham Grand in London.
Oh, yay! My God. We're going to see each other's faces. We're going to see each other's bodies and so on. I'm just genuinely deliriously happy that we're going to see each other in the flesh, and hopefully we're going to see some of you as well. So tickets you can get from claphamgrand.com.
If you're not in London, then you can also buy tickets to watch on the stream.
Yeah, so anywhere in the world, it will be at 7 o'clock UK time. So whatever the time that is in your country, it will be streaming live. And there's two shows. We're doing two shows. So it's going to be 2 hours of entertainment. Two fantastic guests. The second show will be a lot drunker than the first.
So wherever you are in the world, it's okay to get drunk, because it will be drinking time in London. Join us, please. Also, because of COVID, it is now a requirement that you have to buy two tickets at a time. Now, if you're like me and you like to go to shit alone, don't worry. We can hook you up with another person that's going on their own, pair you up, make sure that your personalities match, we'll do a full psych profile, and we'll fit you together. How's that sound?
Do you know what? That sounds perfect. If you're like Taylor and your husband will no longer go to things with you, that's Clapham Grand, 2nd of December. Buy tickets online, come to the live stream. It's going to be so much fun.
Christmas show.
Christmas show.
Christmas show. Twinkle, twinkle.
Longest ad ever.
Tickets you can get from Crapham Gland. Don't say that. The Crapham Gland.
Oh, my God. New sponsor.
Drunk women solving crime. Drunk women. Drunk women solving crime. Drunk women. Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I'm just going to undo my jeans, guys.
Isn't it nice to put That's a name mental. To some tits? That's lovely.
Yes.
You tweezed my nipples. I didn't say you could.
This is a mind fuck. This is mental. Shit, I'm going to drink. Hold on a minute.
Now it's time for for drunk women solving crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. It's another remote episode and I'm really excited to introduce our guest for this episode. She is a podcaster. She is an animator. She is Poppy Hillstead.
Hooray!
Yay! Woo! Oh, nice.
Poppy. How are you doing, guys? Poppy?
I'm all right. Slightly drunk, slightly stressed, okay. But fine. Too hot as well, but everything's fine.
Okay. I like a full report. You were really honest about like what's going right, what's going wrong.
Overheating, a little bit pissed, but let's do this. I'm ready. I think for crime.
That will put you in the best possible position. If there's one thing we've learned in these 2 years, it's that will make you a very sharp thinker. So, Poppy, we always kick off the podcast by asking, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah. I've had quite a lot of, like, crime-related things. I'm trying to think, like, the one that does spring to mind is I was coming back on the tube one night, and basically, two guys started getting in a fight, right?
Ooh.
One of them takes off her T-shirt to show, you know, like, this is it. This was on the tube, by the way, I should say. Yeah. So.
How does taking off your T-shirt help you win a fight?
That helps you get your bag stolen. I guess he didn't have a bag. I would have been like, yoink. I mean, I wouldn't have, but somebody less moral than me. Anyway, that's crazy.
But yeah, takes his T-shirt off, so we're like, all right, this is going to be a bit of fun. And then the other guy takes his T-shirt off.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, all right.
Are they secretly making a porno?
Possibly. I mean, that would have made sense because then the guy, in response to that, just whips down his trousers and pants. Like, he's got so overexcited. He's just like,
oh,
fucking
my God.
Hell, let's go, like that.
Oh, my God.
Whips them down. Everyone's, like, being very, you know... Like, we are, like, trying to look away and everything. I'm just like, shit, this is nuts. Like,
can we have a physical on the men? Like, what are they? I mean, because whenever I imagine anyone taking their top off, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And that is a very nice thing to look at. How are
That's
we on a scale
interesting,
of...
Hannah, because I go to the pastiest white guys possible because they're the ones that take off their shirts. They're like, yeah, you want a piece of this?
No, see, I feel like this is a couple trying to spice up their relationship.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's do it in public on a tube. Let's have a big fight.
Do you think the dick guy is like the third?
Hey, no.
Was that... Oh, so there's three of them?
No, there's two of them, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, the first guy then got his dick out.
I
thought there was two of them.
I see. I thought a third... passenger who wasn't even involved got so overexcited that he was like, all right, if we're doing this.
Do you know what? I am so like big on like public conformity, literally anything. Yeah. I'll join any queue, I'll do anything. So I do worry that I would be, in that
situation. It's genital day. We got to show our genitals.
I'm caught up in a domino effect of people whipping their clothes off on the tube, ready for this fight.
Oh my God. And it would be a day when I haven't like tweezed my nipples and all that, you know, like it'd be a bad boob day. I've had a lot of wine. So Poppy, what happened next? I'm completely waylaid.
Yeah, I think
whether or not I was going to wank to this later. So carry on.
What the hell happens next?
Basically just a very like waddly fight because he doesn't have time to get his like jeans and pants off, right? So they're just round the ankles at this point. So he's really like, I don't know why he thought that would like, do you know what I mean? Like he'd win with that because he was like disabling himself a bit from being able to like move around properly.
You would never win like that.
I mean, he had a fight.
Yeah.
He kept his trousers down.
Yeah. Just
well,
last
there's
it
no going
like,
because you look really weak if you pull them back up. It's like, nope, I've committed, and I was great at the three-legged race,
the
so I can do
now
this.
With the trousers down.
You've got to really go for it. Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
oh my God.
Obviously, we're going to want to know, was he a winner? You were there. Was this a winning package? Or?
I'm going to be fair on him and say it was medium size. Like I did have a quick glance. I feel awful because on every podcast I go on, I just end up talking about dicks all the time, and I want people to know I've got more to me a little bit. Only a little bit, though.
Well, I've been on your Instagram, and you draw amazing dick pics.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, there's so much more to them. That degraded the art that is what you are doing, because there's obviously a twist. So you got to check out Puppy's Instagram. But I was like, look at these dick pics. These are great sketches.
Yeah.
And now you realize they come from trauma. Like, that's the problem. Yeah.
All the best art does. All the best art does. So they had an awkward fight, and then did you get off? I mean, the train, as it were.
I got off at Hackney, I think. I can't remember. But yeah, never know who won. It was just a lot of falling into people awkwardly, and everyone just really trying to ignore it. But I thought it was quite excited. Like, it spiced up my night a little bit.
Yeah.
Tiny bit. But yeah, just like, if you're going to take your trousers and pants down, spend a little bit of time getting your feet out, I reckon. Yeah. Like, just stop the fight for a second and just be like, I need to sort
of. You know what? That's probably why they had flares in the old days. So that wouldn't be an issue. You could just.
So that when they stripped on a whim.
Pull them straight out, still get your shoes on. Very
they
nice.
They could finish the job.
Seconds, yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Oh my Brilliant. God. It's such a primal. Yeah, sorry.
No. I'm just like, was it like a fist fight? Did like.
Yeah, it's like a lot of pushing and slapping, which usually what.
this is just very erotic.
I know. It's really hot, isn't it? Like, just
this
like.
Is the most ridiculous image I've had in my head in so long. I thank you. I thank you for bringing this gift.
They were. From what I can remember, they were like a bit like, you know that term skinny fat? Do you know what I mean? Like kind of like some ribs, but then a little bit of a paunch. Both of them.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it was very, intense. It was cool though, like a cool memory.
Wow.
It is a crime, isn't it? I think that's a crime.
Yeah, well, it's a public disturbance. It's technically obscene.
Yeah.
I love that. Kate's like, technically. I mean, I'm all for it.
I mean, I'm on board. Some of these squares don't want to see unwanted penises. I just love the idea that they're like rolling around this carriage and all the commuters just like trying to look away and pretend that they're not being rammed in the face.
That's what I mean. Like, it's the best of Britain. I'm going to say it. It's the best of Britain.
Oh. This is what happens when someone is so repressed they can only act on stuff when they're drunk.
Do you know, if anybody is listening from the Pride of Britain Awards, I think someone's gonna meet Prince William pretty soon, I think, because these guys are the best. Did you sense that they knew each other, or was it a random altercation?
I think they didn't know each other, just at the shock of the reveal, like the dick reveal.
Yeah.
Just that surprise. I think if it was your mate, you would be like, oh, he always does this, he's gonna get it all out. But there's a gasp like from everybody that this had really stepped up a notch. Like, do you know what I mean?
Just like, in what scenario does making yourself vulnerable with your junk hanging out flapping in the wind and your trousers around your ankles, in what scenario is that possibly strategically in advance? Like, what?
He absolutely, screwed his chances.
Normally people go, oh, he's got his penis out, we'll all leave him alone. Like, what possible outcome?
It's an interesting, like,
beneficial to
one-upmanship, isn't it? Because it feels like, so the first guy took his shirt off.
He's like peacocking.
The second guy took his shirt off, and then we go back to him, and he's like, how do I, normally that's when you just start fighting, but he probably didn't want to fight, so he was like, I've got to escalate, but I don't want to punch.
So it's like a game of chicken. Yeah. He thought the other guy would then, like, take off his shoes.
Yeah, he should have done the shoes first, to be fair. Go straight for the money shot.
There's a lot of, like, kind of, like, tumbling into people, but you know when people just kind of even pretending that is, they're just going to try and ignore that. So there was a lot of like,
oh God, and his flabby ass would have been like falling into faces. No. This is awful.
Yeah, but like a bit of fun. There you go. So,
Poppy,
that's a great story.
That is a great, great story. Like, it's worth it's worth it happening. I'd say. Did it freak you out, or were you a little bit like, okay, this is happening? Like, were you scared?
Do you know what? At this point in my life, I think I'd been, I was just like, it's the same thing every day, the same commute. It spiced things up for me. I went, my heart was pounding on the way back with kind of like, this is London. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm alive.
You would get that in Lincolnshire, but not on like a packed cheap train. Not that moving transport like that. So it's very like, yeah, I was like, this is London. I'm in the city. This is me. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then looking back, I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
But like at the time, you're like, this is life.
I was like, this is like,
I've made it. Edgy. I have made it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Poppy, we always ask, what would you say to the perpetrators if they were here and there's no consequences? I mean, this is a sort of unusual one because they spiced up your commute, but you can say anything you want or you can ask a question.
I'd just be like, guys, calm it down. You don't have to, if you're going to fight, just fight. Or just keep it topless. You don't have to, just calm it down. You're getting too overexcited. Just chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
take your trousers and pants off before initiating a fight, I reckon.
So, top tip, but also,
keep the dung in the pants or do it properly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just try it, just,
how many times can you say, keep it topless, guys? Come on, like what a line.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This case was sent in by a really lovely listener called Jim Martin, who is a writer and artist himself. And he came across this story because he was researching his own book about Stalinist architecture. Ooh. So I read it. I got obsessed with it, so here we go. This case involves a woman who was considered the first supermodel of a certain country. What country was that?
Was it the Isle of Wight and was it me?
Yes. Was it Lincolnshire and was it me? There you go. It's not a country, but county I'm going for.
Was it, you said Stalin, so I'm going to go Russia.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Really good guess, and I thought that might throw some of you off. It was actually the USA. Come on, supermodels.
It was Taylor.
It was me.
There you go.
Yes, I was the first. Remember my big 80s success. It was great. Okay, this is the case of Audrey Munson, and a warning to happy ending lovers, this does not have a happy ending, but it is a fascinating story. So, second question, what year do you think Audrey's modeling career first took off? What era are we talking here? What year?
Supermodel, yeah? Supermodel, I think, 80s, yeah? 90s, maybe.
Yeah, fair guess. 80s, actually, absolutely. Yeah. You hear that word? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You think Taylor Glenn, 1985. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I wasn't even 10. I don't know why I'm joking. It's really creepy. Hannah, Katie, what do you reckon?
I know what you mean. I think maybe the 60s, because I don't know when the term supermodel was coined, but like, again, I should just look this up. We always come back on this show to when were cameras invented, and it's, you know.
And we never have bothered to Google it between episodes.
It's like maths. It's impossible. There's no point trying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go 1960s, I think.
Okay, again, a very sensible guess. Katie, any advance on this? I'm just going to undo my jeans, guys. Inspired by Poppy's story, I'm just going to loosen my trousers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. God, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll do it.
Sorry.
Female workplace.
That Sauvignon really expands the old waistline. Katie.
I'm going to go 70s.
Okay, you guys. I mean, it's a bit of a tricky question because obviously this term was not used. It's sort of in retrospect, we're saying this was the first supermodel because her career took off in 1909.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And the golden era of her career, it lasted till about 1920. So a bit of background. Audrey was born in Rochester, New York. Her father was a trolley car conductor, and she had an Irish Catholic mother called Kitty who divorced him when Audrey was 8 because he was having an affair. So she became a single mom when Audrey was 8. Now, at some point, Audrey's grandmother takes her to see a fortune teller called Gypsy Queen Eliza, who took Audrey's hand and said the following. And I kind of feel like I should do it in a voice, but I'm not sure about the voice yet. You shall be beloved and famous, but when you think that happiness is yours, its Dead Sea fruit shall turn to ashes in your mouth. You, who shall throw away thousands of dollars as a caprice, shall want for a penny. You, who shall mock at love, shall seek love without finding. Seven men shall love you. Seven times you shall be led by the man who loves you to the steps of the altar, but you never shall wed.
She said this to a child. What?
Well, my question is,
a teenager.
How old was Audrey when she got this cheerful, cheerful fortune?
I mean, this is kind of like she's pitching the Runaway Bride film. So by this point, Audrey was... The way you asked the question makes it sound like it's inappropriate, like she's still 8 or something. But I'm going to go 14.
Very sensible guess, indeed. Mm-hmm. Guys, what do you think?
I'm going to go like... to 7, because that's what I sort of pictured, a tiny little kid just like staring at this woman being like, wait, what? Boys are icky. I'm not going out with 7.
I don't think this is about me.
Yeah. Oh my God, a kid saying to the fortune teller, I don't think this is about me, actually, Eliza.
I don't know. It's quite intense, isn't it? Like,
Seriously, it's a lot to lay on a kid.
Yeah. Did anyone say 8? I'm going to go for 8.
Okay.
8 years old.
She was 5.
Oh, wow.
So I think,
in a little bit.
I think her grandma thought it would be like a bit of fun. She takes her into this tent that was all like lit up and perfumed like at a carnival. And then she's like, okay. So I guess she wrote down the words because she's like, well, that was intense. But Audrey takes this in and they keep referencing it. So she thought from that day on, her grandmother did as well, that this woman had put a curse on her. So bear that in mind as the details unfold. Money well spent. Thanks, Grandma. So Audrey grew up to be a towering beauty. She was very tall. So my next question is, how tall do you think she was? Bearing in mind that this is 100 years ago, what was considered exceptionally tall
for a woman? For a woman, 5'4".
Okay.
No, I'm
5'10".
5'10"?
Poppy,
it's not all numbers. It's been very numerical. It's going to get a lot less numbery in a second. We can talk
I'm
about dicks. We can talk about dicks.
Numbers. 5'6". There you go. Why not?
She was 5'8".
Oh.
Wow.
Which was really tall because women in the U.S. at that time very rarely exceeded 5'5".
Really?
Yeah, so she really stood out. She was very striking.
Bloody hell, I'm like, I'm 5'11 and a half. I would be like Richard Osman if I was.
In so many ways, you would be. You'd have a successful quizzing show. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, she was very beautiful, obviously, but she was also super clever, very mature for her age. And her mother, Kitty, saw her potential and decided to move them to New York City when Audrey was only 17. First, she does a bit of theater. But my next question is, how do you think a modeling career got launched around this time? How did she start modeling?
Wait, she's born in 1909. No, wait.
No, that's when her career really takes off.
Starts the career in 1909.
I think she was born in 1891. I didn't write that down. Sorry.
I think it was maybe back in the day where you could literally be like on the street and someone's like, hey, I want you for my modeling thing. It's definitely
but
not
yeah,
porn.
But my what? I want you for my what? Like,
Hannah, yeah, what is modeling
then? Hannah, you're spot on.
Yes.
I'm going to give it right to you. She was scouted.
Wow.
She was scouted by a photographer on Fifth Avenue who introduced her to his circle of artist friends and her career was launched. And it's a story very, very similar to my own. So one of the artists asks her to pose naked. Oh. Was it a man or a woman?
Oh, well, my gut says man.
How old is she?
She's still 17. She's still 17.
I think
what, is it for painting?
Good question. We're going to get to that in a moment.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just going to say Blake. It's a Blake, isn't it?
I think it might be a woman who has been asked to ask her by a bloke who sort of knew the optics, knew that maybe that wasn't a good thing for him.
Oh, they didn't care about the optics.
That's true, isn't it? No one's tweeting about that. No one's cancelling him. So.
It was a man, and the only reason I left this question is because I got it wrong, because I just read the name of the artist And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a woman. How refreshing. Because their name is Isidore Conti, but it turns out that's a really famous male artist from Hungary. So
there you go.
Stereotype sustained. So, Poppy, as per your question, what the hell was she modeling for? You know, this is before 17 magazine, even though she's 17.
Yeah, and you can't even get swimming costumes, because we know from that other case you couldn't get them until after 1900.
So we don't think it was fashion.
Maybe it's to sell, like, dieting pills or something.
Ooh.
Or Coca-Cola. There you go. I've got no idea about any dates.
No, I think that's so a I'm very like, good
that's
guess.
That's back in the past, yeah? Maybe
that's,
she's just...
Yeah, that's history.
Yeah, that's history, yeah.
Whatever.
I think you might be right, though.
Yeah, stood with a Coke bottle or something.
Or, like, is it... If they're asking her to be naked, is it just porn?
What she was known for modeling for were statues. And it's funny because you never think of where do the statues come from.
Wow.
And this is crazy because I never knew. I used to live in New York. I know half of these sculptures and I just never thought of, like, was there a woman who posed for them? And it was her for so many of them. She is everywhere.
Isn't it nice to put a name to some tits? That's lovely.
Yes. Absolutely. The first thing she posed nude for was for a sculpture called The Three Graces, which was put into the Hotel Astor Ballroom in Times Square, which was a very posh hotel at the time, doesn't exist anymore. And it's basically three naked women, like just what you'd expect. But when you look at it, knowing that he used her for all three women, it's really disturbing because they're just like their tits are identical. It's really unsettling. It's like, why are they so the same?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
So Audrey referred to the statue as a souvenir of my mother's consent, which I thought was kind of cute because basically she's got this Irish Catholic mother who had to sort of give her blessing, like, Mom, can I do this job? It's naked. And she must have had a little bit of a dilemma on that, but maybe not. I'm not Catholic. I don't know how it works.
It's interesting, though, isn't it?
What do you can get forgiven if you go to confession?
Model confession.
Go on. Go on, sorry, Hannah.
No, but also, like, as soon as you said it was, like, sculpture, I was like, oh, that's not creepy at all. So, of course, it could be, but I think that you're really playing the long game if you just want to look at a naked 17-year-old, but you then have to, like, carve her out of marble. Like, you know, it's sort of, that feels like...
It's a different kind of kink, Hannah. Yeah. It's still creepy and unsavoury.
Do you know what, Katie? You're completely right. I take it all back. I was just thinking, well, there's a lot of effort to that creepiness, and I'm not sure.
Oh, no, God. I'm sure most of it wasn't creepy, but it's just interesting, like, when we get into some of the details, how it sort of mirrors
I think modeling today. Of, like, yeah, because we think of statues as, like, highbrow, because of, like, oh, it's classical, it's ancient Greece and the Romans.
But, wow, the detail on
so
those
that
nips.
So that can't possibly be abusive in any way.
Yeah. Seriously, the nips on all of her statues are like, wow, somebody went, like, eater, with their... finger and thumb, you know, and you're like, I'm an artist, eater. Anyway, this is my understanding of art. So this is where her career starts to explode. Everyone wants Audrey to pose for their sculpture. She becomes the quintessential desired form at this time. This coincides with a huge explosion of architecture in New York, because New York is really getting built as the New York that we know today. The skyscrapers are being put up. Everybody wants to make their mark. And she's everywhere. That hotel isn't there anymore, but she's on the Pulitzer Fountain outside of the Plaza Hotel. I guarantee you, you've seen a picture of it without even realizing. She's on the top of the Manhattan Municipal Building. She's in the Brooklyn Museum. There's something on the Upper West Side. She's in other states. She made it to Paris. There's sculptures of her that appeared in an expo in San Francisco. She was just everywhere.
Wow. She's not in the 30 Rock one, is she? Because that's dudes in that fountain.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah. Is it, yeah. Is it Frank Blake's trying to catch a ball or something?
That's what I don't think there's any Audreys in there, but yeah.
God, she's all over the place then. Imagine that.
She's everywhere. And what's crazy is this... There's been, like, a renewed interest in this case, mostly because of podcasts and people telling stories, but she, all the articles are, like, the forgotten story of Audrey Munson. It's like, how can we forget this woman who posed for every sculpture that's everywhere?
Yeah, but she's everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, one article started with, she's everywhere, and she's nowhere. Oh. Very deep.
Oh.
So she became known as Miss Manhattan, And as much as it might seem that her success was down to her beauty and that everybody sort of admired her figure, when you dig a little bit deeper, which by that I mean like not just Wikipedia, I read other shit for this. She had a crazy, crazy work ethic. She worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And the other thing I discovered is that she was really cheap to hire. So my question is, what do you think she charged per hour?
Oh my God.
For her services. Again, it's 100 years ago in American dollars, so I know this is a little tricky, but what do you reckon?
When you say she's working constantly, she's just stood naked. Just stood. Imagine that being your job.
I know.
That's mental.
Imagine that, yeah, just then going down a mine and just saying to some miners, God, I've been at work all day.
Just standing.
Unfortunately, it feels like she probably doesn't have an agent, because I always feel like with all the work I do, I feel like unless I had an agent, I'd do it for 40 to 50p. Like, you know, you've got to have that essentially a middleman as well. And because she's female, you know, I'm thinking like 20 cents an hour or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God knows.
What? Mm. But didn't, when she got scouted, she didn't get an agent. That was just a photographer that scouted her.
If she was the first model like that, the first like supermodel for thing, maybe there wasn't such, maybe such a thing didn't exist.
Yeah, I'm not sure she had rep. Most of the accounts seem to be about like her mother's there for the deal, but I'm not sure she's really looking out.
Momager type thing. Is that how you say it? Momager or something?
Oh, momager.
Oh, yeah. Momagers. Yeah.
And isn't it funny as well how I'm like, oh, it would be great if she had an agent, and then you have people like Max Clifford and stuff. It's like women have always been fucked over by people that are supposed to be representing them. So that may not have helped, but...
God, yeah.
I'm trying to think how much. I don't know the rate.
We don't have enough.
It's a tricky question. Just because there's so much to get through, I'm gonna say Hannah George, you were really close, but closer with your joke about I'd do it for 40 to 50p. She got 50 cents an hour, which is equivalent to $15 an hour today, which is so not a lot of money. That's about 10
pounds. What
would
she have got for waitressing like at this time?
I'd imagine it would be around the same. I'm just guessing, but it's very little for, again, you think about like, what would a life model get paid today? Like it's a little bit better than $15 an hour.
Well, especially if you're, you know, if you're in an advert, you get, or you used to get like, you know, all the
residuals,
returns.
Yeah.
Residuals. Yeah. So like every time someone goes to that statue, you should get another piece.
She's getting no fucking residuals from her.
Yeah.
Do you think she gets the money from the fountain that people like throw?
That's what it's for.
That's hers. That's the tip.
Waddling in there, in the fountain.
So do you think, based on all this, do you think she had good self-esteem?
She would have been miserable, especially if she's fishing in the fountain for, I believe in that now. Everyone would know it was you as well. They'd be like, that's her, there.
Why are she's you, just... what? Yes.
There's another quarter, go get
you
it.
You are the statue, what?
Rock bottom self-esteem.
You think she's a bit miserable?
Like people that do nude stuff are either so confident and comfortable in their bodies or experiencing trauma. She might not be super confident and comfortable in her body.
Also, she's...
If she's carrying a curse from the age of 5.
Right, she's waiting for all of her success to turn to ash in her mouth. So...
Yeah. Oh, God,
Well, this is exactly it. So much of what the fortune teller foretold came true. And it's almost like if you tell a kid that they're going to be shit, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, that's the word.
But Katie, you were also saying something about how she felt about herself, and I found this a bit sad. She once commented while looking at a statue of herself and said, oh, it's just far, far lovelier than I could ever be. So she was intimidated by her own representation. Wow. And the thing is, her figure was manipulated in men's hands, basically. So they took liberties with, like, they took a bit off here, they added a little bit there. Oh, it was like the first airbrushing to happen. So she was kind of faced with this, going like, oh, you made me look so better. Ugh. So she...
God, you tweezed my nipples. I didn't say you could.
You took the hair off, Paul. Leave it in.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so crazy. She's also spending money like crazy. So whatever money she makes, she's throwing it away. Her mother's getting worried about her. And she has this series of failed relationships. She has marriages called off. So again, it's like, thanks, fortune teller.
As in, like, they're at the altar or they just get called off?
No, she received a letter from one of the guys. There's, like, a few breaks. There's so much detail in this case, honestly. Like, there's all these breakup stories. It's very sad.
So they're dumping her, though. They're dumping her.
Yeah.
So she gets dumped seven times.
It's probably because she, like...
It's actually seven.
She probably calls them, like, come on in, number four. It's like, that's not a great way to start a relationship.
Number eight. Now it's fine. I'll be fine now. Number eight.
But also, like, her Tinder profile would have the statue picture, and they'd be like, this...
Just over and over again.
Your tits are not actually this firm. This looks like 5 years old. Am I right? Ay-yi-yi.
Drunk women solving crime.
Exciting news, klaxon.
Parp, parp. That's a klaxon. I used to think the word klaxon was from Star Trek, by the way. Anyway, CrimeCon, the world's number one true crime event, is coming to London in June 2021.
So come along and get inside the criminal mind. How often can an event offer that?
I mean, hardly ever, right? Also, learn from leading criminologists, immerse yourself in forensic evidence, and delve deeper into unsolved crimes. And meet your favourite true crime podcasters.
CrimeCon is the ultimate true crime weekend, and we will be there all weekend. So come and join us, quote DWSC, and get a 10% discount.
Limited tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit crimecon.co.uk.
CrimeCon.
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 Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, Audrey decides she's done with this. She's done. She moves somewhere. Where does she move?
Oh, God. Well, I suppose, like...
LA, sorry.
She's everywhere, isn't she? So she's going to want to get away from her statue selves. Because it's a bit creepy, isn't it? Tokyo. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah?
Nice.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not, but I have a sense she would have had a happier life if she had done that. Katie, you are correct. She moves to fucking Hollywood, which never turns out okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So in 1916, she stars in a film called Inspiration, which causes a huge scandal. Any guesses why it caused such a scandal?
Did she show a hairy nipple?
Whipping it
out. Can't be that she's naked, because Annette Kellerman was the first nude in a film.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
She guys know loads.
Polly... Polly, Dolly, Polly.
Hang on, Taylor. Taylor's gone.
What's happened? I haven't done this. I never do this on Zoom. This feels really good. Poppy, I'm so sorry. Your name is right fucking there too, and I just...
I like Dolly. Dolly, I'm like, I might just take that.
Dolly? Polly?
Dolly Hillstone.
Do you have any thoughts? Fucking hell. Okay.
I have forgotten the question. What was the question?
So have I.
What's the scandal that she's in this film and it causes a scandal?
Katie, is that she was naked, and this is interesting because I remember you saying from that other case that Annette Kellerman was the first nude, but this claims that she was the first nude in a film without pornographic intent. So I don't know if...
Oh, man, we need to get to the bottom of this.
What? So she's... What? People are freaking out because she's not being porny in the film. It's just... She's just naked.
Like, well, there was... the porn industry goes way back. Come on, Poppy. You know all about this. The porn industry goes back.
Yeah.
Since there was film. Since there were drawings.
Yeah.
But this is like a mainstream film. This is like, we're all going to go to the cinema and there's a naked woman in it.
Right.
And it was a bit of art imitating life because she played a model who falls in love with her sculptor.
Okay.
And fun fact, a group of high school students tried to go see the film and then it got shut down by protesters and they're like, oh man, and they all got sent home. And I just thought, it's so funny that would happen in 1916. Like, that's great.
Down with this sort of thing.
Some things never change.
I guess we'll just go see the statues again. God damn it.
Was she just naked in the film? That was it. So people freaking out because she's naked in the
film. She's just standing naked. There's all these stills of her, and she's literally just posing for a sculptor. It looks like a really boring film.
She's naked everywhere, though. They're getting freaked out at that, and then they go outside, and she's just all over the place.
Well, these rules are inconsistent.
It's very weird.
I'm sorry to bring this back to the Titanic, which I always do, but I always remember my friend when we were like, so this was in, like, what, 1997? She wasn't allowed to... by her mum, she wasn't allowed to see Titanic because there was a nipple in it.
And is that there was, a nipple in it?
Yeah, there was Kate Winslet's nipple. You saw her nipple.
But that's a drawn, that's a sketch nipple, isn't it?
I think it might have even been a sketch nip. And I always remember talking to her in the girls' bathroom about that and just being like, wait, what? Like, you've got nipples. Like, what?
Yeah.
You've got nipples.
How is that taboo?
That is so funny. And to be fair, like, most of the sex scenes that I think my parents protected me from, they're so female heavy. Like, I'm basically just watching a naked woman get, like, hit against a wall. That's what most of the scenes are. Like, none of them taught me at all about things that I was interested in. I don't know. Okay.
Oh, I love being hit against a wall.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that that was nice until later.
Is that why it's called a stud wall? Just a little bit of DIY humour for all the lads listening.
Oh my God.
And I'm deliberately being sexist. Women can do DIY.
I can't believe I called you Pauline Dolly. I feel so bad.
Still thinking about that.
I'm really so tipsy for this one. I'm sorry.
It.
Okay.
Can't believe it.
I'm on track. We're not going to lose this. Her career starts to tank. Surprise, surprise. She's getting too old for Hollywood because she's 27. So that'll happen.
Shit.
There are some signs that she wasn't doing very well mentally. Specifically, she started compulsively writing letters to the State Department accusing people of being German sympathizers during the First World War.
Okay.
But in these letters, she would accuse specific people, but then also say, also, my career is going really badly, and it's because I've been blacklisted from the industry. So the State Department would be like, we can't really look at this right now. There's a war.
God, okay.
Yeah.
Just adding that in then.
Ironically, one of the men that she accused happened to be a really wealthy, influential bachelor. So when he finds out that she's tried to throw him under a bus, he literally does blacklist her from Hollywood.
Shit.
So she kind of created her own, like, it's just
self-fulfilling prophecy.
This is a mindfuck. This is mental. Oh, God.
Now, guys, this is a true crime podcast. So far, no crimes, right? Here's the crime.
Oh, yeah.
Here is the crime. So, I mean, apart from being gorgeous, I've been
and
accused
being exploited.
Arrested many times. She moves back to live with her mother in New York because there's no work for her in California now. So
that is a crime.
Yeah. A neighbor called Dr. Walter Wilkins. Anything you want to confess, Katie? Long lost relative.
Wow, I wonder if it's a relative.
You're gonna hope it's not. I bet it isn't.
I don't think it is.
Doesn't sound like it. These are the New York Wilkins. You're the
if we have a common ancestor, it's way back.
Yeah. You're the Midwest Wilkins. Okay. Dr. Walter Wilkins is a neighbor and he becomes obsessed with Audrey. So poor Audrey, like, her career is tanked, she's back living with her mother, and this creepy neighbor is just stalking her, like won't take no for an answer. He's a married guy, but he only has eyes for Audrey and he just won't let it go. Is Audrey...
They would none of the Wilkinses in my family would ever do that.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either, Katie.
They're honestly, they're more repressed than me.
So he just doesn't let up. He keeps coming to the house. She says no. He's asking her out, stalking her. This is where the crime happens. So what do you think the crime is?
You said a happy ending.
There is.
So I think Mr. Wilkins didn't get his girl. That's really sad. No, I'm joking, obviously. I think he murdered her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, murder, pushed her down the stairs, done something. Oh, God knows.
Is it going to be like a kidnapping and a rape and then a murder? Oh, God. Is it dark?
Triple whammy.
I mean, it's funny because now I have to answer, no, Kitty, it's not that bad. It's actually a bit of fun. No, what he does is he murders his wife.
Whoa, fucking hell.
What the fuck?
Because that's in no way lighter. Yeah. That's still horrendous.
Because if you can't get the gal, take out the middleman, because that's the problem. And it's not that you're a stalker.
Oh, wow.
So
that's nuts.
And now I'm single.
Yeah. I know. Hey.
Ready to mingle.
It's terrible. So Audrey has nothing to do with this, but because investigators find out that Dr. Wilkins was obsessed with her, they track her down to find out if she was behind this. Did she put him up to this? And obviously she's got this past, so she's kind of famous and retired, and so there's a lot of press around all of this. Question, is she charged with a crime?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Yeah. It's easier for them to do that than to accuse a rich doctor.
Yeah.
I'm crazy lady's going to take the rap.
Yeah.
God, that's ironic, isn't it? If he kills his wife to want to be with her, and then she gets sent to jail.
Or even killed by the state.
Shit, I'm going to drink, Ultima.
Need more drinks.
Oh, guys. We've had some really happy ones, and now I've brought a tragedy, and I'm really sorry.
It's true crime.
Dolly, I'm so sorry, Dolly.
We got to roll with the punches.
So here's the thing. She's not convicted of a crime. He is convicted of murder.
Is she accused of a crime?
She's
not. What was the question?
She's never charged.
Okay.
With
so
anything.
I'm wrong.
There's no evidence.
Okay.
But it's almost, I don't know how this is more frustrating, but it just goes to show what it's like being a woman at this time. He's convicted of murder. He's sentenced to death. And then he kills himself in prison.
Wow.
Shit.
Okay.
But the publicity around this just absolutely puts the nail in the coffin of any chance of a career she ever had. There's just all this sensationalized stuff, like caught up, fallen model, caught up with da 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 da.
Yeah.
So it's almost like she takes the hit, even though all she was a victim of his advances. So things get really hard for her. She tries to kill herself at age 39 with poison, doesn't succeed. When Audrey is 40, she goes somewhere. Where do you think she ends up?
Oh, she goes somewhere.
For some reason, I see her in the UK. I don't know why. I think maybe she gets on a...
I'm thinking Europe, you know. I'm thinking, like, maybe she goes to Italy to meet the Pope and get blessed, get rid of this curse.
Mm. Or does she go back to the fortune teller? Sorry, Dolly. sorry, Poppy.
back to the fortune teller. I'm trying to think what I'd do if I was there. I'd probably just go on the run. I don't on the run from what? Because she's not been accused of anything, but I'd disappear maybe.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. You want to get away from all the press and stuff.
Yeah.
What's really sweet is I think you just wrote a much better story for her. That would have been no, lovely.
No,
I know. She ends up getting committed to an asylum. Question, who puts her there?
Not her mum.
I mean, her mum's the only one left in the story, really, isn't she?
Oh, come on, Audrey's mum.
I know, which is... It fascinates me. I couldn't find much about it, but she was so insistent on it and said she was depressed, she was hallucinating, she was delusional. But they did evaluate people back then. It wasn't just the family going, like, we want this to happen. There was an evaluation process.
Yeah.
And not much turned up in the evaluation, but the judge said, no, we'll go with what the mother thinks. And she's put in the asylum. And she probably did need some emotional support, but it was probably
she 100% needed therapy. Like, she was traumatized.
Even six sessions of CBT would have been a little bit more helpful.
Or just like a hug.
Yeah, anything. Not asylums.
So, I'm so sorry. I've brought such a sad case here.
I'm like, oh, fuck.
I don't know what the takeaway will be, but we'll find it.
Yeah.
So Audrey lives out the rest of her days in the asylum. She goes in when she's 40 years old. How long do you think she lives? How old is she when she passes away?
This is
60.
Ooh, so that's 20 years, isn't it? That's mad.
Yeah. I think 60. That sounds the right kind of like time frame, doesn't it? Okay. God, 20 years in the asylum. Shit.
I mean, maybe. We don't know.
I'm already like, fuck, where?
Yeah, I'm committed to this.
Just going with it straight away. God, she's had a shit life already, hasn't she? She's only 40 and she's had like an absolute crap life.
Yeah.
And all the young like versions of her are all like statues everywhere. That's fucked up, isn't it? That's really weird.
I don't think she lasts that. I think maybe she dies at like 41. Maybe. I just don't think it's the right place for her. Unfortunately.
Well, you have to assume it wasn't, but this is just such a crazy end to this case. Again, especially for the era where she was born, she lives to 104.
What?
Oh, mate.
She's in the asylum for 64 years, longer than she was out. She's like a bionic woman. Like, she's taller than everybody else, and then she lives to 104.
That's fucking
and then no roots out of the asylum. Can they not go, oh, you seem fine now?
Yeah. What, like, what about when a mum dies, she can get out of there or something?
Yeah.
Her mum is actually 137.
I do wonder if there was a bit of, by this point, it might have been a comfort. It might have been like, actually, I'm fed, I'm safe, there's nothing more for me out there,
yes,
I don't know.
Stability.
I don't know.
If it's not a horrendous one, she's not being having electric shock treatment all the time, it actually might have been kind of nice.
Well, they must have treated her relatively well for her to be alive until 104.
It's really, when I hit that detail, I was like, oh my gosh, this case just gets, it's just baffling. One nice thing is that her mother dies and she didn't have many other people in her life, but this long lost relative discovers that she is this great aunt in this asylum in New York, and she starts visiting her when she's 93. So for the rest of her days, she had this niece that suddenly went, you're my aunt, and came and started visiting her.
That's nice.
So I know this is like a super sad case, but in a way, sometimes when we look at these ones, it's like, God, if this woman had just been treated better by the system and by people and the patriarchy didn't like shit all over her, she's this bionic, amazing woman.
You're right. You never think about that, do you? About the fact that like statues are real people, or like the women are real people. It's weird.
Yeah.
As if women are real. Come on.
Was the Statue of Liberty a real woman?
I don't remember. I was going to say, French woman. I don't think so, but...
France.
There's got to be some kind of reference.
Should we actually learn this or just pretend we're going to learn this?
Apparently, my granddad is in a statue.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
My mum's dad, he's Scottish, and he was in the army in the Second World War, and apparently his regiment were all, like, wherever they were, and a sculptor came past, and they all had to stand in a row, and he, like, the sculptor looked at everybody and went up and down, and he came back to my granddad, Francis McGee, and he was, like, he picked him, and he picked two others, and they had to pose for these sculptors, and it's, oh, I can't remember the fucking name of it, but it's in Scotland.
Wow!
You can go and see it, and it's these three soldiers.
Katie, that's fucking insane. Google it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not definite, but it's like so his nose. Like, it really looks like him.
Oh, right. I'm kind of wanting a statue of me now. That's the wrong thing to take away from the story.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be everywhere naked. Yeah.
No, I feel like if we had a little bit more say in our statues, except I would tell them to manipulate. I'd be like, can you take Can you just take that away? Can you just...
I also worry that if there was a naked statue of me, it would just get, like, pulled down because people would be like, this is offensive in a whole different way to, like, the statues that are being pulled down at the moment, rightly. They'd just be like, we can't, you know, we're trying to enjoy a meal at Strada by the docks. We don't want to look at that. We will know.
I'd protect it. I'd protect it.
I used to be obsessed with Dinner Date when I moved here. Like, I would just drink wine and watch Dinner Date, and it was the best nights of my life. And this guy goes on this date with this woman who's obviously super posh. Like, she's got this houseboat in the Thames, and she's just very, very... She's like, oh, yes, I did a little semester abroad, blah, blah. But she had a naked sculpture of herself, and she's like, yeah, I just wanted to, like, capture myself. So wow. I don't forget.
Wow.
Yeah. But shit. Now I kind of wish that I had captured myself at some
okay,
point.
Okay, I've got it. It's
in the 80s when I was a supermodel at age 9. Katie, what's up?
It's the Commando Memorial.
Hey.
Oh,
and it's in...
Would I say Commando? Is that what you're saying?
They did.
Yeah, Commando.
They didn't have like any pants on.
Like the nude. Yeah.
I want a statue of those dudes fighting in the tube. That would be a great statue.
I can show you.
I can do a bit of sculpting.
Oh my
god.
Wow. That's so cool, yeah.
We're totally posting this, and thank you for finding a sort of happier ending to this case.
Yay! Statues, yeah.
He was traumatized in a whole different way.
Drunk women solving crime.
This is a listener crime.
Oh,
from Vanessa, one of our loveliest listeners who's from Australia. And she, I have to tell you, in a way, there's a resolution to this crime. So I want you to try to solve it, but it's almost like a riddle. We'll see what happens. It's, okay. Years ago in the 90s, that was just 5 years ago, Vanessa, what are you talking about?
Oh, God.
Well, my bike was out of action. I needed to take the bus home from work. As I boarded, I acknowledged the driver, validated my ticket, and took the newspaper that the driver had offered me and found a seat. So it was the driver's newspaper offered to her. The second day, I didn't wait for him to offer the paper. I just took it. But he didn't protest. By Friday, one of the regular passengers told me to give the paper back to the driver. It's not part of the bloody service, you know. Poor guys paid for that and you just nick it.
Oh my god.
Other passengers were staring and nodding in agreement, apparently annoyed by my behavior. So I'm going to leave it there. What do you think happens?
Okay, what was that? So she gets on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He gives her a newspaper, is
he
it?
He does indeed.
And she takes it.
She takes it.
Oh.
It's a gift. Let me have a think. But then she proceeds on several more journeys to just assume it is hers, and she takes it.
What, is it left somewhere, or is he just still holding it out and she's just taking it?
No, I don't think he's offering it. I think it's like sat next to him, and she's like,
the second day he wasn't done with it.
Oh,
the first day he thought she was somebody else.
I know.
Oh, Poppy knows.
Oh, go on.
Different driver.
Mistaken identity.
Yeah.
Do you know what my favourite thing in life is? Is when you see two bus drivers drive past each other and give them a little wave.
Yes.
Isn't it cute? And when they don't, I'm like, what the fuck has happened there?
Yeah.
Because someone's upset someone.
There's some bad blood.
Somebody dropped their trousers
drivers.
On the bus and tried to fight. That's what's up.
I think of all the, of all the people that is not going to be reading the newspaper at the same time as you on a bus, it's the driver. So I don't think she did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Is there more to the story? Or is that...
Well, there is. There's a resolution, but I just kind of... It's almost like a riddle.
Oh. This is like something that happened to me when I was a kid.
Really?
Shall I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was 10 or 11, I was in chess club, you guys.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I still don't know how to play chess.
And I once got to second in the chart. Anyway, so this was an after-school club, and it turned out that you were supposed to bring snacks.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't know that. So I looked around the room, and I saw everybody eating what looked like biscuits, and then I saw a plate of biscuits in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And I assumed everyone had helped themselves to one of these biscuits.
Of course.
So I helped myself to a couple of these biscuits, and then the teacher came back in the room and said, "Who's eating all my biscuits?" I was the only one. And everyone went, "Katie ate your biscuits." Because I didn't know that they doesn't work for everyone. I just assumed that's what everyone was eating. Aww. And then I was in so much trouble for eating the biscuits.
I love shouldn't have been in trouble. This is what pisses me off. That's an injustice, just like Audrey Munson. Like, for fuck's sake, listen, hear me out.
Yeah, it's like your life was sad enough you were in chess club. To be fair, just to sort of like tell everybody now, I am actually a chess champion. I was the chess champion of my school, so big on chess. Wow. Still play.
I never got to champion. I only got to number two.
Well, if you nick the fucking biscuits, mate.
Help me out. Do you play chess?
Political.
I'm trying to think if I put that. I can vaguely play chess,
but my
school was a little bit. I'll teach it. It's all right. I'm trying to think. There was something that happened at my school, which is not related, but it kind of reminds me of it. Where
a school story is always welcome.
This is horrific. So I saw my mate at the door, right? I was doing an exam, right?
Oh, wow.
And it's just a GCSE mock or something.
a huge exam,
Yeah. So I went to the door and I was talking to him about... So he was going to give me some caterpillars for my birthday. I don't really know how to explain that, but he'd got them in like a little pot thing. And I was like, all right. And then my mate had been taking the piss out of me and was like, Poppy, get back here like that. And I was like, oh, shut up like that. And then I heard this voice go, Poppy, sit down. And I went, oh, fuck off like that. And then I turned around. Everyone was like, oh. And they were like, you just told Miss Butler to fuck off.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, where is she? And they were like, she just walked out. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I just told the teacher to fuck
off. So she did fuck
off. And she was
off.
Just like, all right. So I went and I was like, I'm really sorry. And she was like, yeah, it's all right. And I was just like, what? This is the power I have. This is amazing. I'll just fuck off like that. 15 years old or whatever.
That's amazing.
There you go. That's what confidence gets. I mean, it's not confidence, is it?
Oh, no, that's good. I should have styled it out with Mr. Hart.
Yeah, it's gone off.
Yeah, your biscuits get fucked. So, see, I knew this would just bring up some jolly school stories.
Yeah.
I accidentally stole two things. We had to pay for milk. You guys probably did that until Thatcher said no.
She stole the milk. Yeah, but very famously.
I remembered in my head, like, oh, my mother, wait, has she paid? But I already had the delicious chocolate milk in my hand, and it was allocated to whoever had paid.
You got chocolate milk. Wow. We just got plain milk.
We got chocolate milk if we wanted it. It's full of extra nutrients.
God, America is so lucky.
I know. But so I'm there with my straw,
it was.
Slurping. And then they're like, hang on, where's William's milk? William is missing his chocolate milk. And I was like, and it was the first time that I like didn't fess up. I just sat, I'm like, just drink it, Taylor. Just keep the straw in your mouth and keep sucking. Just keep sucking the milk.
William's in a diabetic coma.
And to this day, like, I can't enjoy chocolate milk. Like, I think I would love it, but if I drink it, I'm like, you are a thief.
Oh, so, no. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah, and then one time we used to get these amazing Halloween bags. Like, this group would come around, and I don't know if they were Scientologists or farmers, one or the other. And they'd come around with these packs of sweets, and they were amazing. It was, like, so much candy in a bag. And I accidentally nicked somebody's bag, like they hadn't touched it. So I had like double candy and I did bring it back because I remembered the chocolate milk affair. I'm like, I'm going to be the better person. And like the kid barely thanked me. They looked at me like,
No. I was like, you should have kept it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've dragged this out too long. I apologize. So here's the resolution. Things were looking grim, but thankfully the driver finally spoke up. He thanked them for their concern and informed them that it was okay because he was my father.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
What a twist.
What a twist.
So it was the same guy the whole time.
It was the same guy the whole time. It was her dad.
And it was her dad.
Right. She got falsely accused. This is as good as making a murderer right here. This is.
So all the passengers were like, she's taking his newspaper.
Yeah, didn't know.
But he didn't mind.
He didn't mind. Didn't know it was her daughter. Called her out. You little cunt. Stealing a good man's paper.
Wow. He's got those difficult kids at home. We all know about him.
He talks about them, but he's been very quiet about them this week. Right.
Oh, man. She really, like, phrased it like a riddle.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't help myself.
And you know what, it's like that riddle when, like, a boy is in a car crash.
The doctor. Yes, yeah, Katie,
yeah,
yes.
That one.
It's just that his boy and his father are in a crash, and then somebody goes to operate on the boy and says, I can't operate on him. He's my son.
Yeah.
How is that possible? And in the 90s, couldn't.
Yeah, no one said it's his mom. It.
Now,
women couldn't be doctors.
I would hope that now kids would be like, so it's his mother or his other dad? Like,
how can a nurse do surgery? I'm being really sexist in this episode.
And that is a fantastic segue. So, Polly, Dolly, Poppy.
Yeah.
Whichever you prefer to be called. Can you please tell us, what the hell have you got going on? We know you have a podcast, so tell us about that and anything else that you would like to plug.
I've got a podcast called Poppy Hillstead Has Entered the Chat, and it's me going into chat rooms, having real conversations with people, and then me and guests reenacting them. So, exhausting to do. Maybe fun to listen to. Who knows?
It's so good. It's really brilliant. It's a brilliant podcast. And like, there's what was the song you like? Did a song and you put it on Twitter, and that really made me laugh.
I think I've done. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I make up songs with the people in the chat room, and they're always like, "It's weird. It's so weird because people are so desperate to get into a sexy conversation with me. It's like I'll give them an obstacle course of just like, oh, you know, I want you to pretend to be Eric Idle, and then they're like, oh God, okay, like that, and just like pretending to be him. Or like, yeah, we had like a, yeah, I made up a Bruce Willis song with someone, and it was quite,
that
yeah.
was it.
it was a journey, yeah. But yeah, I'm just doing the second series at the moment, which is out in
awesome.
November, so yeah. Watch the first one, and then we've got the second one. Watch that one on about.
Love
Listen
it.
To it.
And where can awesome. We find you? Can we find you on Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram. And then if you want to listen to my podcast, it's on Acast or iTunes or wherever. Super. I don't know where it is. It's everywhere, isn't
it's
it?
It's out there.
It's on things.
Poppy Hillstead has left the chat. Thank you so much. You've been an amazing detective.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime, and this has been Poppy Hillstead.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.